Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg, and you've read the headlines on biznews.com, watched the interviews on BizNews TV, and caught up on the BizNews briefing. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews premium members. Today is Wednesday, the 3rd of December, 2025. Glad to have you with me. Well, if you've been anywhere near the BizNews site recently, you would have read the pretty hectic attack by R.W. Johnson on DA leader John Steenhuisen. He accuses Steenhuisen of a litany of errors, and I will have the opportunity to put those to the politician in just a few minutes. So I'll be talking to John Steenhuisen, who has agreed to provide us with a right of reply. And we will have that interview up on BizNews later this afternoon. But I guess the whole story here really focuses around one Dion George. Was he useless, as some people within the party suggest? And certainly Steenhuisen himself has reckoned that he needs someone better in that portfolio. He only has a few ministerial posts, and it appears as though he does not think that Dion George was doing the right thing. Well, that's what he said publicly. Whereas on the other hand, there are people saying, no, George was actually a really good guy, and Steenhuisen was the one who had him, or wants him sidelined in spite, because he refused to allow Steenhuisen to use his DA credit card for personal expenses. Yo, these are hectic. Accusations on both sides, and I'm hopeful that in the conversation with John Steenhuisen in just a little while, we'll get better insights. Now, all of this really does matter, because the DA has never polled as well in South Africa. It's poised to be very much involved in running the country into the future, not just the provinces where it's currently, or the province where it's currently in command, in the Western Cape, which it's done very well at, but also in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, most likely. But apart from all of that, it does appear as though if you have a leader who is accused of not being able to run his own affairs, well, then how can he be forwarding or leading a party that's built on a whole basis of good governance and fiscal prudence? So it's going to be very interesting to get that feedback, and we will have that for you, as mentioned, later this afternoon. On the investment front, a big rebound last night from Bitcoin will have put a smile on many of the faces in the Bitcoin WhatsApp group with amongst premium members. It's really an active group, and if you have any interest in crypto or in that part of the market, do go along there, even if you just want to learn how the whole Bitcoin story works and where it falls in. You've got more than enough knowledgeable commentators in that group who share very openly and answer questions. So it's a good place to go and get your basic education. But on the other hand, not every Bitcoin operation is a winner. Eric Trump, a son of the president of the United States, has a company in the United States called the American Bitcoin Corporation. Sounds quite a lot like the Africa Bitcoin Corporation, recently renamed from Altvest. And it's been under a lot of pressure. The share price is down by 70% since September, and it does not look like all of his dreams, Eric's dreams, are coming true anymore. They were at one point, but just be careful when you take long-term bets on these type of businesses, especially those who've been created out of SPACs. Remember, SPACs were a craze in the United States, where people would put up an idea and investors would pour money at them. In fact, Rob Herseff had a SPAC that he was involved in, may still be involved in, which was going to get involved in finding gold in Africa. So it is a highly, highly speculative area, and just be aware of that, that as good as the story might be, it's not always something that you want to be putting your long-term savings into. A place that you can put your savings into appears to be Nedbank. Like the other South African banks, they're providing excellent yields. You get 8% on dividends alone by investing in Nedbank, which is really juicy when you consider that the market inflation price in our country or the inflation rate is 3.6%. So there you go. You can get yourself a really good above inflation return and a safe place to park some money if you buy Nedbank shares, provided you can take the volatility in the share price in the short term. Although that doesn't seem to be much of a problem right now, because any way you look at it, the South African banking shares are really cheap relative to those in other parts of the world. And I think this was illustrated in the results that Investec put on the table. Now, Investec's about half the UK and half in South Africa. And their return on equity in South Africa is double that in the UK. And it's not unusual, because if you look across the board, other banking companies in South Africa, Nedbank amongst them, are delivering high double-digit returns on equity. Nedbank's looking at 15%. We had figures coming out earlier from Standard Bank, who are targeting 15 to 20%, and they're looking at about 18% return on equity. Similar numbers from FirstRand and Absa. And those are signals that it's a good place to be doing business if you're a bank in South Africa. Your returns are much higher than most parts of the world, and certainly a lot higher than, say, the UK. So Corky Coyman does believe that South African banks are offering great value, and it is an area of the market that hasn't been neglected, with the exception of Capitec, which just powers on and on. If you just look, step back a little bit, there was an article in the Financial Times, our partners in London, which said that this is the time, and it's republished on BizNews, this is the time to be buying quality businesses. And they actually mentioned FirstRand amongst the quality businesses that you should be acquiring right now. Isn't that interesting? So of all of the quality businesses around the world, amongst them was FirstRand. And the thesis is that as the AI boom has taken over and tech stocks have been front and center for most investors, some high quality companies that deliver really good quality earnings have been neglected, and their ratings have fallen to a level where they are particularly exciting. So there's something for you to put into your investment insight. We've got some interesting stuff happening tomorrow. I'm going to be interviewing the CEO of FirstRand, Mary Vilakazi, on the trading update. So that'll be on the BizNews briefing tomorrow evening. Tonight's BizNews briefing at 7:30 is an interview with the local chief operating officer of Walmart. And that's really a heck of a story if you think about it. Walmart came into South Africa, chief executive Doug McMillan and all, guns blazing. Remember, this is a huge international retailing company. 2.2 million associates, they call them, not staff members, but you know what, you get the picture. And they were going to come and upend the South African market through the acquisition of Massmart. Well, that didn't happen. And at the time, I recall talking to Whitey Besson, who said, bring it on. We'll take them on. No problem. No problem. They can try and attack us here. We'll show them who's boss in South Africa. And so far, ShopRite has certainly given the Walmart guys a bit of a bloody nose. Walmart is represented here through Massmart, Builders Warehouse and Game. But 2 years ago, Dries Goya was sent out from Canada, where he was a chief operating officer, to become COO here in South Africa. There's been sufficient evidence in the heavy lifting that he's done for Bentonville in Arkansas, where Walmart started and is still headquartered, to say, okay, we'll support you, we'll give you the energy that you need, and we'll even let you open, for the first time, Walmart-branded stores, which happened in the last couple of weeks. That interview will be tonight, available tonight on the editors, what we call the director's cut. It'll also be on the Biz News briefing at 7:30. And there's another interview before I go that I want to tell you about, and that was with our colleague and former Cosatu executive. I don't know if they call them executives, but anyway, he was in quite a senior role there, Dirk Hartford, with his boss at Cosatu, Jay Naidu, who writes for us quite often nowadays, expressing opinions on all kinds of interesting things. And that interview is really worth watching. It uncovers a lot of what happened in the past, but more than that, it gives you a very honest look at where South Africa is and the role that the trade union played in getting us here and the role it can play in the future. All of that's on Biz News TV, and I really think that you will enjoy those interviews. I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. And thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.